I'm here.
Music. Stupid Jerry comes 2 seconds before the show starts. I gotta keep my eye on the switchboard to open
it. Jerry?
Mic.
I'm
yeah,
Stupid Jerry,
Jerry
now.
You just got here. Smart enough.
Sounds like
Jerry,
I got here right on time.
Get,
look, this
answer.
Is what people
get
call
here a minute before we start. Hey, it's a new year. Don't screw it up. You come on 2 seconds before. I'm just going to play the automated one.
As soon as you sign my contract and get it back to me, then you can start telling me what to do.
Okay, let me move ahead. I just want everyone to know what kind of person you are.
The
Hi,
best
everybody.
Ever.
Oh, I'm going to play more music. I am Rob.
Start again.
January 12th. I had 2010 written down, but it's 2011. Yes, it's a new year. And I didn't finish handing out the Recruiting Animal Awards last week, so that's what I'm going to do in my introductions for the next few weeks. Because I told these people, yeah, I had awards for you. Now I have to prove it. Anyway, the first one up today is the best job hunter of 2010, of last year. Now, this girl works in HR, and last January, a year ago, she had a big operation on her ankle. And she's got lots of other health problems as well. But you know what? She never stopped looking for a job. No! She never stopped looking for a job, and she got a number of them this year, all contract. It wasn't like she got them and got fired. She got contract jobs. And I only remember one because it was with Amazon. That tells you something about branding. It's a famous company, so it's stuck in my mind. And who is this person who won this award? Shanae Rutt. Congratulations, Shanae. But I'm going to give you some advice since I'm talking about branding. And I am an expert in online branding. Shanae is a nice name. Shanae is a nice name. It's hard to spell, but it's nice. It sounds like chiffon. But Rutt is not a nice name. Rutt sounds like a hole in the road. Leave it out. If I were you, my humble opinion, I would just call myself Shanae online. There's no other Shanae's. Everyone's going to know it's you. That's enough. Next person up, I'm going to do three today. The next person up is Andy Gregory, CGP. Let me find, I'm going to play a little clip from Andy. I didn't know what to award to give him. I kind of called it best interjections. If someone's got a better idea, you tell me. Here it goes. Thanks.
Andy Gregory just made a good point on Twitter. He said there's 61,391 visionaries on LinkedIn.
Thanks, Andy. Thank you.
Yeah. Anna Maureen failed to share my additional point on that tweet that there are 52 people who indicate on LinkedIn they are dumbass.
Okay.
I get it. Okay.
No. Listen,
and then there's a third point.
And there is a
Andy.
Third point that there is one that says he's a visionary and a dumbass. My thought we should swap the dumbasses and the visionaries. There's probably more like 52 visionaries.
Okay.
Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations, Andy. Would have been funnier in the midst of, you know, context. Sorry if I screwed it up for you. Anyway, the last person is Glenn Cathay. Glenn Cathay. Now, I used to scold Dave Graziano because he said Glenn Cathay when it's really not Glenn Cathay. But you know what? I grew to love it. I'm going to call him that, too. His award is Best Male Blogger. Everybody reads his blog, Boolean Black Belt. You should check it out. If you want an award, I can, you know, slice these things as narrow as you want it. You know, Best Male Blogger in the Northwest. You tell me. Get in touch with me after the show. But now I want to tell you, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Yeah. You know, I don't think Andy's clip came out so funny just on its own. Do you? What do you think?
It
was did
funny.
I make a mistake?
No, it was funny. It was very
Animal,
funny.
First, you need to say you're sorry to disparaging me.
No, Jerry, you...
I was here on time.
Sorry.
I was here on time.
You were not. 2 seconds is not on time. I
you push me, and you push me,
streams.
And you push me. How far am I supposed to let you push me here?
You know what? Let's ask the guest. Jimmy Balmer, are you here?
I am here, Animal. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, but you're supposed to sound a little more enthusiastic.
Sorry,
than
I'm
that,
panicked.
Okay?
I'm excited.
Pep it up, pep
Returning
it up.
Animals,
yeah,
sorry.
I mean, he's your Australian. You're
Fight
supposed
up.
To have a little pep.
Yeah,
okay,
I know, but
now,
it's the middle of the morning, and we haven't had any alcohol yet, so
you know, we've got a friend.
Go.
This show has a friend, Rob McIntosh. He's Australian. Do you know him?
I don't know him, no.
Well, you know what? He would call on a louder phone than you're calling on, okay? So put your lips right to the mic. Make sure I don't have to beg you to
I
speak
can do
loud
that
enough
for
me to hear you. Okay, now Jimmy, I'm just going to do a bit of an intro for everybody else. I just realized yesterday that you didn't choose to come on this show yourself. You have a social media consultant who I actually thought was part of your firm. Darren, anyway, he's external and he likes the show, so he volunteered you, you know? So I don't know if he's got something against you, but I'm a sensitive guy. I don't want to hurt you, so I'm going to give you a safe word. I've done it before. If you feel that things are going south for you, you say, Animal, I'm scared. Animal, I'm scared. And then I'm going to switch over to Janice. I'll ask her your question. She was complaining last week. I don't let her talk enough. I'll let her answer all your questions. I'm sure she'll do a great job. But
that's
first,
three
I want to
words,
hear,
Animal. That's three
I
words.
I want to hear you say, Animal, I'm scared.
Animal, I'm scared.
Okay, good. You don't have to be scared, though. Okay, now look. Now, Jimmy, before we get going, let me ask you something. What would you think about a resume that has a play button on it? All you have to do is press that button, and you hear the candidate answering all your most important questions.
Yeah,
you don't have
so much
to answer. Verbal summary. Don't answer that. Verbal summary is the name of the product. And if you go to verbalsummary.com, you'll find it waiting there for you. And I'm not just talking to you, Jimmy. I'm talking to everybody. Verbalsummary.com. Check that out after the show. Yes, you will. Thank you, Jimmy. Okay. Now,
Michael, was that your
was
first
that an
ad?
Apology?
That was
that
my
an apology?
First ad. That was my first ad. Okay.
That's what $2 can get you right there.
There you go.
Money well spent, Jerry.
It was good. That was a good ad.
Well, that's $2 worth. That's $2 worth.
I paused long enough to give the guest a chance to say something. Jerry, do you want to hear what he had to say? Because I don't think it was what we wanted.
No, we don't let him speak.
Okay. Jerry,
I'm all about feedback.
Okay,
of course
go
I
ahead.
Want to hear what people
Jerry,
think.
Say
what
do
you think I'm a dummy?
Jimmy, you didn't think that was a good idea,
product.
Right?
He doesn't know the product. He was just answering
Jimmy,
animals. Questions.
Hey, Rayanne, let the guest talk. Jimmy, are you there?
I'm here.
Jimmy, now you said you didn't think that sounded like a good idea, putting a play button on the resume. Why not?
You know what? Because you were asking me 50-50, and I flipped a coin. It came up heads. So
oh, yeah,
I wasn't
you're
really
out
sure
now.
What I was
supposed to
do.
You know what?
Give him a chance
you know,
to flip it again, Animal.
resume on a button. You know, I'm from Australia. We're a little bit backwards in terms of some of that technology. And I'm a big people person, and I like to see the people face-to-face or feel them.
Yeah,
in terms of the tool to work through and potentially to screen out candidates and things like that, it's probably good, but you want to keep the net wide and bring
you know,
in
let me just clarify that, and then we'll move on, because you're not too interesting about this. He doesn't record the whole resume on the file, the audio file. He just gets the key questions, asks the candidate those questions, and records those. It comes out to about 3 minutes long. So you can read the resume just like usual, but you press a button, and you hear those important things. Anyway, we'll move on, okay?
I like that one. Can I change my mind? I do that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, verbalsummary.com. Take a look at it after the show. You know what, Jerry? This guy is in charge of a big organization. Maybe he's going to make you rich. Anyway, Jimmy, before I really introduce you, should I ask you some light questions, or should we just, you know, get into the introduction?
Let's go with the introduction.
Okay, how about a song
I would opt
for
light questions, Jimmy.
Okay,
really?
Okay, Maureen.
Kind of an appetizer
of
sorts.
I'll take the light. You know what? First, let's sing a song. Jimmy, are you ready? Jim, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, it's an Australian song. It's the Kookaburra song. You know it?
I love that song.
Okay, are you ready? Jimmy,
wait,
are you
gonna
with
light
us?
Up? Are we going to light up before we sing this?
I don't know. Jimmy, are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
Light
you
up
know
what?
You know what? Hey,
is
shut
becoming
up.
Less and
I didn't hear you, Jim. Jim, I didn't hear you.
You know, that's the first time I've heard that one.
No way. That kid's singing in Australia. I did research to get that song. I never heard it before.
What did you do? Go to YouTube, put in Australian song?
You know, actually, I'll just tell you one thing. Then we'll really get going. The Men Down Under song, they were accused.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, they were accused of ripping off this song. I don't think they did. I listened
right.
to both of them.
Okay.
That's
I could
okay.
talk about Vegemite sandwiches and stuff.
Jimmy,
that
give us your
fine.
Elevator pitch. Give us your elevator speech.
What? I thought this wasn't pushing the product. Look, my elevator speech in terms of Workway.
Who
you know,
are you? If I met you at a party, what would you tell me in 30 seconds?
I don't know if I'd be able to get a word in, but I'll go. career recruiter. Exploring social media and what it means, but still have my learner plates on. Definitely interested in understanding how to engage candidates. Utilizing
you know what? That stinks. I'm sorry. I know you're making more money than me, but that's a lousy elevator pitch. You're the chief operating officer of Workway, which is a staffing company. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something interesting, though, about your career. Your LinkedIn file says that you graduated in 1998. Is that true?
I graduated from college, yes, that is true.
Okay, and within 4 years, 1992, you were the VP of operations at ADECO's Northwest Division in Australia. Is that true?
It was northwest in the U.S., but that is true, yes.
Oh, in the U.S., you were here already. That's even better. I thought you were out in the boonies. That's why they would put a young guy in charge of a big operation. How old were you at that time?
I was 26.
26. And how did you get to a VP position at the age of 26?
Look, a couple of things. I was lucky. I was in the right place at the right time, and I think that comes into it a lot. I had some people that mentored me along the way that really supported me and got me up to speed. But I think it's classic recruitment. The harder you work, the more successful you are, and you make your own luck. So if you're prepared to roll up your sleeves and really dig in, then, you know, it's a numbers-based business that allows you to be successful based on what numbers you produce as opposed to looking at how old you are. Now, I
so
think,
you started as a recruiter. Is that what you're saying?
I started as a recruiter, yeah, way back.
Way back? I mean, you got out of school. How long did it take before you got into the recruiting business? 1998.
I was in the recruiting business when I was in school. I was recruiting, and I was also going to school full-time.
Okay. Is there a little more to this story?
What do you mean, is there a little more to the story?
Was your family in the recruiting business?
No comment. No, yes, my family was in the recruiting business. So I started
comment.
When I was 12. But I'm
okay.
glad, yeah.
You started when you were 12. Tell us that. That's a story. What were you doing? Filing?
I was doing filing. I was in the offices. I was always promising I'd never get into recruitment. And then I was in college and I needed a job, and I figured that's the one thing I know how to do. So I went in, and yes, I had the family connection, which was
okay,
probably part of that luck piece.
No, listen to me. You listen to me. Get used to it, okay? When you were working around the office, you weren't a recruiter, how could you be in college and then say, recruiting is the only thing I knew how to do? How did you learn it?
How did I learn how to recruit?
Yeah, just by being there in the office. Well, what did you get out of just hanging around? Sounds like you knew how to be a janitor or a file clerk.
I think you're able to understand and hear people on the phone. And if you're in that environment, you know, it's, as I said, it's a, an industry which allows transfer by just listening and observing. And you hear different elevator pitches, which were obviously better than the 30 seconds that I gave you about 3 minutes ago. But certainly you're able to understand how people word things. You're able to really listen in. And for me, I think that was what drew me into the industry and something that I knew. But then I think from that, it was just how you work with people, how you work with clients, how you manage your desk.
Yeah, okay.
Successful.
Just hold on. What made you so successful that they made you a VP within 4 years?
I had the branch with the highest profits in the U.S.
Okay, so you were already a manager. How long did it take you to become a manager of other recruiters?
2.5 years.
Really? And then 4 years to the VP level. Want to tell us what you were earning at that time, or is that not a good idea? I don't have to know.
Probably not enough, but yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to say. Okay, okay, so we're going to come back to this, but tell us now, what is Workway? Workway.com. What is Workway?
Workway is a specialist staffing agency that was built on the mortgage, title, and escrow industry. So we were the organization and the people in the business were the first to really focus on supplying temporary staff and also doing direct hire as well to that industry. From that industry, we kind of broadened out our horizons, but still I would say it's based in the financial services sector. We also have one division that's set up to purely service the vendor-managed service.
Yeah, okay, so let's
program.
Get to that. First of all, these other temp jobs, when you say temp jobs, what are they? Are they contract jobs or are they very short-term? Because Jerry works on contract jobs.
They're both. I mean, there's a mix depending on what the customer's looking for, but it's definitely more of kind of a temp or temp-to-hire basis. I wouldn't say
so
it's
what
contract.
Kind of, is that a skilled position? Give us some titles that are standard for you guys.
Well, like escrow officers, mortgage processors, and anything that sits within that real estate space.
And so why would someone need an escrow officer on, like, for how long? 2 months?
A lot of it's there's two ways that it's done. I mean, what often at the end of the month, you know, everybody's trying to close their houses and get the deals that run through so they can do the loans. The last week in the month and the first week in the following month is very busy, and it's kind of a temp type arrangement. Outside of that, over the last 5 years before we hit the real estate bubble and everything was growing, obviously those jobs were done by the title companies on a temp to hire type basis.
Okay, so an escrow officer, I don't even know what that is, but it sounds kind of exotic. It's a skilled person. You're not just sending someone, you know, a body out there. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and how do you find those escrow officers?
You know, I think that most of it is based on the fact that the people that came into the business when the business was started 5 years ago and then had worked in the industry before that actually came from a real estate background. And that allowed them to go in and sell to the customers that they actually knew what they were looking for as opposed to some of the other.
Okay, I didn't ask you that. That's a good question. So I just don't know how this business works. You know, anybody can speak up if they think I'm asking dumb questions. I just don't know how your business works. Like, how many escrow officers would you place in a month in a non-depressed economy?
In a non-depressed economy, a lot more. But right now, let's say we have about 500-600 out working across the U.S.
Wow. Does anybody want to comment on that?
Good work.
That's a ton of people. How do you find those escrow officers? Do you advertise, put a laundry list in the paper, and then, you know, escrow officers and all other kinds of fish come in as well?
Yeah, look, that's the typical recruitment cliche, right, in terms of do we post jobs? Of course we post jobs. And do we have people that come through that? Yes, we do. A lot of it for us is being the brand that's known within title, escrow, mortgage across the association. So, you know, let's any of the title associations by state, any of the escrow associations by state, obviously we're involved in, and our people are making sure that they're, you know, keeping up to date and attending those meetings. So there's that community aspect in the network. I think that brings us a lot more people. The other piece for us is working with training organizations and things like that, so that we're having our people kind of go and keep up to date and then able to place them on the back end. So
what does that mean? Sorry, I don't understand with the training organizations. What are you talking about?
Let's say there's an escrow training organization that's training people in Florida to keep up to date in terms of the latest changes in the laws that are going to affect how they do the job. We'll partner with them, so when people get trained by them, they can then come to us and we can place them into our client network.
Okay, and you give a referral fee to the training company. Is that right?
Not necessarily, but it has been done.
Okay, well, I don't know why they would refer them to you. Maybe that's an attraction. They've got good connections. If you train with us,
they know we can find them jobs, and so once they're trained, the people that are coming out want to be able to get a job. If they send them to us, it speeds up the process.
Now, the recruiters who are dealing with these people then, what do they do? I mean, you're bringing them in. You're not telephone sourcing these guys, right, these escrow officers?
We're not direct recruiting them, because the majority of the jobs are a temp. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, we're calling, we're screening, we're doing that standard process. But then, yeah, we are face-to-face interviewing the people.
I don't understand. Hold on. No, I don't understand what you mean you're calling them. I mean, they respond to an ad. That sounds like the primary. I'm just trying to get an idea of the structure of the business.
They respond to an ad, or we might go find their resume in a database or online.
Okay, and so what do your recruiters do? They're not looking for people. You're giving the recruiters the people. Is that right?
Not entirely, because the recruiters themselves may be involved in that the aspect where they're having to go out and find the candidates in terms of doing the network aspect. But for the most part, yeah, based on, if I hear you correctly, they're managing the interview process and the placement process and the client relationship on the back end and the candidate relationship on the back end of the placement.
Okay,
so right?
they get the resumes and they call the people and network with them when there's an opening. Yes or no?
Correct.
Okay, now the same thing, you've got these, it sounds like at the senior levels, relationships with big banks and mortgage organizations or whatever. So are the recruiters bringing in the business, or are the senior officers of the company maintaining relationships and the business just comes in? So the recruiter gets the job order and looks at the database and calls up a bunch of people to see who's available for that two-week span. Sorry, this might be really standard for someone who does temp. I've never done temp, so I don't know.
Okay. Hypothetically, potentially, but I would say no. I think it's a little bit of both. The recruiters also, if there's not lots of business coming in, as you put it, are looking for opportunities and kind of chasing that down. We do have a model where we have salespeople as well that kind of supplement that. So they're out there getting orders and supporting what the recruiters are bringing in, but overall, yeah, the sales model would be one person's getting the order, one person's managing the order management and the post placement.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me ask you something. You're a young guy still, I assume. You just started here in August, is that right?
That is correct.
Why did they hire you?
I think they're going to be asking themselves that question after today. But no, look, I think the reason is it's a business, it's a classic temp business, and it's a specialty business that has grown really well in a really good market. And when you're looking at the numbers and the growth rates, they were huge. And when a company's growing really quickly, you just keep growing, you just keep adding, and you drive the business. I think that, you know, being a business that specializes in an industry that's related to the real estate market, hit home in the last 2 years, obviously, with the economy and what's happened in that sector. And so for Workway moving forward, it's about the classic area.
Hey, yeah, Jerry's telling you, I was thinking the same thing. You're killing us. There's 29 people on the line. Does anybody have a question for Jimmy? You know, help me out here. You know what? When I don't let them talk, when I cut them off, they whine, right? When I give them a chance, okay. Listen, Jimmy.
I have a question. I thought it was interesting.
No,
well, I
okay,
think
well,
there's questions. There's questions. Don't
wait
move on
a second.
To
Dave Manister, was that you who thought it was interesting?
What the heck
right.
are you even talking about?
Okay.
I've got
Who's got a question? Who's got a question?
Will you fluff my pillow, please?
Yeah, okay.
I have
the
a question.
Next, go ahead.
God.
Margo Rose, HR Friday, Cincinnati,
oh, it
Ohio.
Oh, better be good. Yeah, look, you know what? You're not here to advertise yourself. You said you got a question. Ask it.
I have a question, animal, if you'll shut up and let me ask it. Okay. How are you going to be making a difference in the lives and in the...
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to cut you off. It's not a job hunter show. You know what? I'll ask
He's
a job
hunter question. He's employing 600 people, Margo. That's making
that
a difference in a
lot
of lives.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm gonna have to cut you off. I'm gonna cut you off if you keep with those questions. Jim, I'll ask a question that's related though. Do you have any tips for job hunters? Since you deal with a lot of them.
That was my question.
No, it wasn't.
It
Jim.
Was gonna be the next thing I said, animal.
I'm gonna look up your number and cut you off in a second, okay? Just be quiet. Oh, Jim, do you have a question? Jim, do you have an answer for my question? Any
tips
for
job
hunters
right now?
Yeah,
yeah,
I think
that stay engaged in terms of being out in the market and talking to lots of people. Narrow down your search in terms of what you actually want to do. So when you go to the interview, you sound like you're interested in that specific position.
Well, hold on. What did you just say? Narrow down your focus so you sound like you've got passion. Is that what you're
yeah.
sort of saying there? Can you explain that a bit? I don't know. That's actually, you know, people keep saying, have passion, show passion. You know, it's going to be so fake. Now, you've actually given a technique or hinted at one that is going to make someone sound like they're actually interested in the job. So you're saying exactly
what?
I
think you need to be yourself and say what you can do as opposed to trying to write your resume just for that job or to come into that job and kind of change what you can offer the company. Because at the end of the day, if I'm hiring someone or I'm building a team, I'm looking for someone who can come in and I know exactly what they're going to do and they're going to hit the ground running. And I also want to know that they're interested in working for my business because, you know, everyone's lean, and if they're excited and want to work hard, then
yeah, you didn't
we'll
say you didn't say
want.
That. You didn't say how they psych. You were going to give instructions on how to psych someone up, so when the recruiter talks to them, they sound like they really want this job. It's just the greatest thing in their life.
You've got to go in.
But
you've
I didn't
have
hear
a
you saying that. I didn't hear you saying that. I'm going to switch to an area that you say you're interested in yourself, an area that you've got passion in, Jimmy. Not that I want to know about, because I think everybody's got a good idea of what you're doing now, at least what the business does. We don't know what you do as a COO yet. But look, you told me that you're interested in the use of mentors to build skill set. You want a skill set. So if you're a new recruiter, you have to find mentors. And you said that's how you developed yourself as well. Do you want to speak about that?
Yeah, look, I think recruitment is a business where people give back. When you're looking for a job in recruitment and the passion and the piece that you're talking about, you need to get behind people that are going to be able to teach you something and are going to have an interest in you. People that tend to give back to their businesses are the types of people that you want to work for. For me, when I'm mentoring people, I think it's a matter of, you know, before they come in and when they start their job and you're going through induction, understanding what they want to get from you. So it's always a two-way conversation. I think on your show, you were talking about people that give constructive but difficult criticism. I think back in December, I think you need mentors that are going to tell you the truth. Mentors that are going to help you develop, and people that are going to tell you what's bad and what's
good
about
you. Tell us a story, Jim. Tell us a story. Do you personally feel that you benefited from a mentor? Am I right about that? Yes or no?
I did. Yes.
Give us
hey,
a story.
Hey, animal.
Yeah.
I think Jim, and this is a good example of why the second time you come to the show, it's a much more dynamic show. He thinks this is a professional thing here.
No, he doesn't. He's listened
yeah,
to the show.
Yeah, I think so.
He's
the guy,
to the show.
He's on the money.
I was told it was rowdy.
He did
I
his research.
It was
yeah.
It's rowdy. We need to shake it up. Can I get a martini, please?
Yeah, hold on a second. There's 30 people. There's never been this many. And I was never allowed to have this many callers. There's 30 people on the line right now,
you
okay?
Get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for. Okay.
Okay. Jimmy, you know what? I'm going to ask you some questions about standard recruiting. Please be quiet, 30 people, or I'm going to have
to start
cutting you off.
$2 to sponsor this?
Hold on a second. I got another ad. Time for another commercial. Hey, time for another commercial. Jim, we'll get back on track. But did you know, Jim, do you know anything about telephone sourcing?
Ooh. Oh, really. Momo.
No, it's easy.
Well, listen.
It's a moment.
There's sometimes you can't find the people you need on LinkedIn or Jigsaw or Zoom Info. And you know what? What you need then? You need a good telephone sourcer. And it just so happens that we have the most famous telephone sourcer in the world on this show. Her name's Maureen Sherub, and she's the tiger mom of telephone sourcing. If you want to find more about her, go to namesourcer.com right after the show. She's waiting there for you, namesourcer.com. Sorry,
your Maureen,
money there maker. Interruptions. Okay. Jim, let's get on straight recruiting questions. I'm going to ask you, how do you approach candidates? When you were a recruiter and you were calling someone up you'd never spoken to before, can you give us an example of the exact words that you would use to, build rapport, get them interested in speaking to you?
Well, I had an accent which helped. So normally they
why does
they,
it help?
They,
that's
they
a question.
Call.
Why does it help? Does it make you sound a little more exotic? Do girls like Australian accents?
It did till I came on your show, Animal. But,
your phone's a little muffled. It doesn't stress that manly Australian sound. That's your problem, I have to tell you. But
I have to go with the manly pace.
Do girls like Australian accents better? Is that it?
Yes.
I think girls like anything different. But you can switch it, because if you're American and you go to Australia, you get the same effect, right?
Are we going to ask about his favorite cookie next?
No, this is an important question, Mike. I know you don't realize it, but are you dealing in this kind of business? Are you dealing primarily with female candidates, Jim?
Probably predominantly, yeah, predominantly.
There
okay.
you go.
So then,
right.
then a guy
is it something that's good? Yeah, it helps.
Okay. So when you call up, can you give us an example of what a recruiter in your business might say if they were calling up an escrow officer or some kind of mortgage processor? You pick.
If I was calling up an escrow officer.
No, you're not a recruiter. You're the COO. If you want to say, look, I'm not doing that anymore, I'm rusty, I'm doing, I'm doing $1 million.
Michael, why don't you ask him COO questions about how he manages the recruiters instead of what someone else is doing?
Dave Manister?
Or
Dave
about
Manister.
A recruiting call.
Do you know who Dave Manister is, Jim? He runs ERE. He's going to ask you a question for me. Dave Manister, go ahead.
I'm not asking questions, Michael. That's your thing. But I'm just saying, like, ask him about how he's managing his desks. Like, what differentiates his good recruiters, top recruiters, from his medium recruiters or his low-level recruiters? Who's bringing in the results and why?
You know what? I don't know if that's the question I want to ask. Jim,
what?
You know the exact words.
What?
You know the,
oh,
that's a great
God.
Question.
Okay. Jimmy, are you there? Say yes or no.
Yes.
Oh,
which
no.
Which question do you want to answer? Dave's question or my question? Take your choice. I don't care. Just got to get the show on the road.
Or Jim, would you rather sing again?
Jim, go ahead, please. You make a choice. Answer a question. We're dying here. I just got to tell you. You should be saying, Animal, I'm afraid, okay? Jim, I'm afraid. Answer one of those questions right away.
But I've been chatting online with Dave all day.
Oh, my God. What is that? Lord.
And Jerry.
That wasn't me.
Jimmy, look at me. Don't listen to
that.
I'm going to cut him off.
Look at me.
We're dying.
I'm dying. I'm halfway outside my body.
Just answer a question.
Animal.
Talk,
me.
Please.
Give
talk.
Him a question.
The show's going down.
What
give me
are.
The question. Give me
you
the question.
Okay. What do you say when? What does a recruiter say in your business? What's a good cold call? I'm looking for a model. I want you to mentor me. Tell me what if I was recruiting an escrow officer or a mortgage processor? How would I cold call them?
It's tamping. You're not necessarily cold calling them. I mean, I think that there's a generic difference between, you know, making a call for someone on a perm job or a direct hire job or a higher level contract, compared to what you're looking at if you're looking at the mortgage and finance industry, just based on, you know, these people are actively potentially seeking employment day to day, so they're going to be taking a call. So
give me an example. How's the call going to go then?
Most of them have applied to a job.
They're going to call up and say, have a potential opportunity, and then they're probably going to say, great, let's talk about it, as opposed to you're calling someone up and trying to entice them with the opportunity. They're already looking for it. So
what skills are you going to look for in your recruiters then for handling those people?
It's the customer service level skills, time management in terms of how you manage your day, because they're probably filling, you know, 15, 20 recs a week, whereas in other areas that I've worked in the past, you may be filling like one or two jobs a week.
What are we talking about when you're talking about time management then? I want to teach us something. Come on.
Well, how many calls do you expect them to make a day?
Hey, you know, why don't you let the guy's finally talking? Why don't you let him say something, okay?
Jeez.
It's the ability to look at certain KPIs, like how many calls that they're making, how many interviews are they doing versus how many job orders that they have open, submittals are they sending the clients in terms of people that are getting hired. They're all of the ratios that you're looking at. They're similar ratios, but you're expecting to see more volume in them probably from what you're talking about. But are they having to call up and recruit passive candidates? It's not in our business model.
Okay, well, what were your strengths when you were a recruiter?
I think my strengths were the ability to talk to people and engage them in a conversation. I think my strengths were the ability to manage the client relationship. When you're looking at recruiters and you're working in larger organizations, you tend to go towards the operational side, the recruitment side, or the sales side. I spend most of my time in terms of looking at how to develop relationships with customers to, as you were putting it earlier, drive more business coming through.
Okay, how do you do
that?
How do you build relationships with customers? If that's your strength, that's what I want to know about. I want you to teach us something.
What about donuts?
It's anything but donuts. It's knock 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 and until they let you in, and it's being a cold call machine. It seems like showing up in someone's lobby, seeing the receptionist, standing in front, trying to get face to face with the person that won't see you, having someone take a Polaroid photo of you, writing a note, finally saw you face-to-face, getting in to see them and getting a, you know, $2 million account. It's things like that. And for me, I think that the reason that I was successful was that I was able to use different ways to get through the door. And in the business, once you're speaking to someone, you know, they'll see you again and you can build business from there. Then it's the whole idea, and it's a cliche, but of under-promising and over-delivering. I mean,
so
I think that's basically why I was successful. I'd under-promise and over-deliver.
What does that mean exactly? Hey, whoever it is, don't make me shout. If you've got the phone open and you're talking to other people, hey, you know what, Jim, do you have your guys calling in? Is that one of your people? Good, he's gone.
I hope
okay.
not. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jim, since you're at the top of this company, what is your social media strategy? Do you have...
He's not in charge.
I'm
of
not
that
laughing. I'm asking. This is
I'm
a legitimate
you,
question.
Jim, yeah.
Did you
Jim,
visit their website, Jerry? You didn't do any pre-show prep, did you?
Hold on a second. Let me,
I can't
let
ask
me
a question.
That. Let me answer. Let me Jim, answer.
Are you tweeting?
How
let
about we let
answer.
Him answer? I'm asking. Does he have a social media strategy?
He's not in charge. You're asking the wrong guy. The guy who set him up, he's the social media guy. He's
so
at
it's not
work
really
way.
Jimmy?
You talk
it's
to
not
him.
Really,
okay?
Wait a minute. It's not really Jimmy that I'm following on Twitter? I didn't
Jim
really connect to Jimmy.
James Baumer is Jim. You know, you guys are asking dumb. You guys are screwing up the show today.
Let me tell you. I asked the COO of a 600-employee temp firm if they have a social media strategy, and that's
okay,
a bad question.
Ahead.
You asked the same guy, what is your cold call, and that's right on the money? Come on.
Go ahead, answer the question.
Yeah, you told him he could ask it. Jeez.
I wasn't laughing at the question. I was laughing at the fact that you asked it, Jerry.
I wanted to know.
Quit laughing.
do we have a social media strategy?
Yeah.
I think in terms of looking at our business, and look, I would say I'm experimenting in social media to understand what it brings to the business. My take is no one's worked out, and if you're asking from a COO point of view,
yeah.
No one's necessarily worked out how to measure what you get back and what the ROI is on social media yet. Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Buzzword, ROI.
And I don't know if anyone has a comment on that, because I'm interested in hearing from the listeners if there's some way that we could do it. For me,
I hate social media.
Do you have a policy about tweeting, your recruiters tweeting?
We don't have a policy, because right now we're encouraging people to do it, right? It's kind of like the whole Google concept where you work on a project on the side. We give our recruiters Facebook. We give our recruiters Twitter. We allow them to utilize that to engage with candidates. And I think for us right now, the whole concept has been that we're putting ourselves out there to try and learn and understand what we can do.
How long have you been doing that?
We let our people use the tools, and if we want to use them, if we want to stop them from using them the way that they want to use them, they can't be themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Animal, open up 253. There's a question from Jen Bowen.
Okay.
Jeez.
Every line is open. Finish
talking.
Animal? Hold on. Let's finish talking to Jerry. Let him finish talking to Jerry, okay?
So Jim, then... Do you have a sense for what percent of time your recruiters and salespeople are investing in social media, say on a daily basis, or how much effort is going out? I understand you don't have specific ROI on what's coming back, but
right.
Do you have a sense for how much time is being spent making this, quote, investment?
Right. Okay. I'll break down the investment part first.
Sure.
So obviously, as was mentioned, I was set up by my friend Darren, who's retained to the company and helping us with social media, right?
Darren.
Yeah, I used to love Darren, but Darren.
Darren was retained until the beginning of this call.
No. He was actually okay until I had to start speaking. From that point on, Darren, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to Darren. But
sorry, Darren.
But the concept is Darren has helped us build a program related to tweeting, and to how we use Facebook, and how we blog and all those sorts of things. What we've tried to do is bring people to use it on their personal side. You know, it's like asking someone to do some sort of corporate social responsibility type thing and go and help a homeless shelter or something like that. You only do it if you want to do it. So what we've done is encourage people to be involved. What we're now trying to do is, as those questions are, how much time do they spend on it? We're beginning to track those sort of things and the investment and the things that come back to us. What I can say is, you know, I was not necessarily a believer in social media until I started with Workway. I kind of thought it was a buzz thing. What I found is in talking to customers when you're presenting to them and they ask you what your social media strategy is, you can kind of flip that back to them and say, hey, okay, well, you know, for example, I had a customer that I was with last week who we were presenting to them. They said, tell me about Twitter, tell me about LinkedIn, tell me how you use them and how that makes you different, because everyone's saying that it's a buzzword right now. I flipped it back on them and said, okay, this morning someone in your organization who manages Twitter tweeted about this, this, and this. On LinkedIn in your group, you said this, 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 and this. So obviously you're participating in those same communities. My plan is to help you cross over and be a conduit or whatever you want to call it with them so that you can work together. So I think that we haven't worked out how to ROI it yet. Is there anyone on the call who can tell me how to help do that? I mean, I know there's
no.
A lot of social media experts. But why do you think that is?
Because it's immeasurable at this point. There are no rules. There's no rules, just like there were no ratings when movies were first made. So it's going to take a while before everybody figures this out.
Jimmy, how many recruiters do you have?
46.
What percentage are tweeting and using social media?
Who's mouth breathing?
Are you asking me or asking Darren?
Yes, I'm asking you. What percentage?
Darren would say, I think if you were to go through and look at our Twitter accounts, probably maybe 10 to 15% are actually doing it consistently.
No, 4 or 5 a day.
Has anyone come back and said, hey, here's what I got done from Twitter, or have you heard any result? I mean, I understand not being able to put an actual dollar figure on the ROI.
Right, right. Look, I mean, you know, what we can say is that we do send out jobs that might get picked up by someone like Indeed,
mm-hmm.
and then go into their stream, and then based on their stream, do we make a placement? Yeah, we can see where we've made a few different placements. The piece is, I guess, saying how much time, as you said, how much time do I spend on it? Do you have a policy? Those types of things. We've left it pretty open because we're trying to work out how to do it. And at the end of the day, we believe that it will impact and help make our business more successful in the longer term. For us, as we look to diversify and go into other segments, obviously in this recession, we've learned that we can't just be in, you know, focus on real estate, mortgage, that area. We want to be able to kind of build some sort of thought leadership or try and bring the candidates through. So that's what we're trying to use it in my perspective. Other people in my organization would say different. So let me put that first thing, as this has been recorded, and say, in my opinion, but I think that, you know, we're trying to work out how it can benefit us, and we know that we need to be there in the future, but we don't necessarily know how. We're still trying to get the best practices to come back.
What about on the other side of it? Okay, looking for results, I can see where you might not be able to pinpoint, you know, a string of results. What about the downside of being so consumed with thinking that you need to get Twitter and the word out on social media? Have you seen any drops in productivity from any of your recruiting or marketing people?
Based on the answer of 10% to 15%, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that I don't think that we have had enough people necessarily focusing on it all the time to be able to get back to those numbers.
Okay.
And I think it's like any other part of the business, right? It's if it's a sales tool or it's a recruiting tool, I don't know if businesses in the industry, and someone correct me if you know of any, that have been able to get discipline around how they do social media, because the policy kind of stops the discipline because it stops people using it. And letting people have free rein stops the discipline because they can decide whether they want it or not. I'll throw it out there.
Do you have a number of calls per day you require your recruiters to make?
No. No, they're not KPI'd on the number of calls.
Are you hiring?
What?
Hey, Animal, can I ask you a question?
Is there any one metric or any metric that you use in order to figure out who is going to have the best results, or something that correlates with the people who are bringing in the money?
Are you talking about in terms of the activities that they do?
Yeah, what are they doing that seems to actually be causing money to come in?
You know what? I think that all of the one thing about the business right now, and given the downturn, and obviously I've been here about 5 or 6 months, is that the database is pretty full of a lot of really quality people right now. So it's, since we started doing the whole social media piece, we can't correlate that because a lot of those people are already in our database. So it's probably more about how we continue to engage them and let them know, because we've got more people than we've got jobs in that sector right now.
Don't necessarily restrict it to social media. I'm just talking in general.
Oh, okay. So if I'm looking at it in general, I mean, it's there is a correlation to how many calls that you make, to how many placements that you make. But I also think that,
what
you know,
is that correlation?
Recruiters that have specific industry experience and have done the jobs that they're placing definitely are able to make less calls based upon viewing resumes and things like that.
What is that correlation?
To the industry experience.
So I don't
quick
understand
question.
The question.
I've missed the question.
An average number of calls they make a day?
An average number of calls that they make per day, yeah, will result in more placements.
What is that average amongst
average
your 45
number.
Recruiters?
I don't have the number on hand.
Join us for the after show in 10 minutes.
Okay, Jen Bowen, area code 253. She's been waiting politely. Go ahead.
First-time
caller.
Question. Yes, I am. But it looks like Workway was in the Inc. 500 last year. And the CEO had made a statement that you guys allow people within the company to
basically run their own mini companies. So can you explain a little bit about how you let your recruiters basically run a little mini company? Is it still run that way?
I think it goes back to that question when someone laughed and said, are you hiring? You know, we're looking at results based on the money that's coming in the end and how they manage their day. We're treating people probably, and in a larger business, that probably doesn't happen as much. But our recruiters aren't heavily KPI'd. So they're given the opportunity to manage their business based on the market that they're in, to come back and get to the numbers that they need to get to.
So you're looking for entrepreneurs.
Of course. Doesn't everybody in staffing?
They should.
No.
Exactly.
No. You're right. They should, but no.
An idea. I would agree with that. I concur.
Hey, some idiot is there talking to somebody when its speakerphone is open. Come on. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So, yeah,
go
definitely
ahead.
Looking for entrepreneurs.
Okay. Now, you guys have also had a switch over of CEO. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how's that, you know, has that impacted how you guys run any of your staffing and recruiting?
It certainly drove the social media aspect. Diane Prince-Johnson, who's our CEO, is committed to that space. She was definitely, in terms of blogging, in terms of understanding what it could mean to the business, I think it, as far as staffing goes, an early adopter. In terms of the rest of the business, how it's run, maybe at management level in terms of the different locations, but as you said earlier, when people are running their individual businesses, as long as they're producing the results, it hasn't seen such a huge change.
Now, the 85% that are social media resistant, what's the common defense given for not using social media?
Did he say social media resistant?
Yeah, the 85% that are not using it there.
Well, they're on social media, but they're maybe not using it daily.
Right, but what's the defense they use that they don't want to use it or they don't want to use it a lot?
Maybe they need to actually get something done.
Well, I think it's time. It's a time thing, right? And I think that, but the other thing that I think is, I think you have to train yourself to use social media and it becomes habitual, right? So if you've got people in your organization who aren't using it in other parts of their life, it's harder to then come to work and train yourself to do it. I think, you know, that's part of the reason working with Darren, we're trying to train our people on how to use it daily and how it can become part of their routine. And I think that takes time as well.
Jen, anything else? Jen Bowen, anything else you want to ask?
Nope, I think I'm good right now.
How come you know so much about this company?
The name just caught my eye, and, you know, I follow the Inc. 500 each year, just kind of read through and see what human resources and recruiting's doing in there, and name caught my eye that they were in it last year. And there's actually an entire about two-page spread talking with their CEO in the 2009 Inc. 500.
So you know, next time, Animal, get Diane on, don't get me.
She called in last time she tried to wreck my show. I don't know if you remember that one. 10 minutes of bad noise. Now, listen, look, Jimmy, you just made a fool out of me. Yesterday I spoke to Darren, and all the social media questions I had, it seemed to me that he was the guy who I should be asking those. Not you, but that's the only thing that brought you to life so far. Do you want to say anything else about social media before
And let's track
on?
That back. Who asked that question?
Jerry.
Okay. Contract time. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
Jimmy.
He should get a discount on his advertising.
Jimmy, we're almost done. I'm just curious, though. So, like, you're kind of a superstar. You're not that old yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you became a VP at a young age, and you described yourself I'm just curious what someone has to do to follow in your footsteps. Now, you described yourself before as a cold call machine. Is that right?
Yeah, you've got to make cold calls. You've got to be able to sell. You've got to be able to bring business through the door to get noticed.
You know what? Look, I got to tell you something. On this show, you can't talk in general terms. If you say, yeah, you got to make cold calls, Maureen's been asking you for hours already, how many cold calls? How many cold calls did you make a day when you were
until
moving up?
Until your fingers bleed, animal. What
Wait,
do you mean?
Thanks, Jerry.
Hundreds,
he's
hundreds.
The guest.
I made cold calls until I was able to book enough appointments for the rest of the week so I'd hit my target of having 15 appointments a week face-to-face with clients. And I didn't have a number of cold calls that I made. I just went through because I knew if I saw 15 clients a week, I'd get one new account because I worked all my ratios backwards. So I would cold call and keep going until I got 15 appointments. Then the next 3 days, I'd hop in my car, I'd drive around and see them. If I was in a building somewhere and across the street I saw an account that I wanted to go into, I'd go cold call them as well and walk in there and find out what's going on and then put them on my call list. So it was just time management in terms of making sure that you've only got 8 or 9 hours in a day where you can talk to customers in terms of selling to them. If you maximize those, you do all your admin and all the other stuff on the back end outside of those hours and you don't waste any of the time and you can be successful. I mean, I don't think that it's about how hard you work. It's about managing the numbers. It's not necessarily how smart you are or anything like that. It really is just about wanting to be successful. And when you talk about passion and drive earlier, you've got to have the drive, you've got to have the passion to just get out there and take the hits and take the rejection. But you know what? Based on this call today, I'm probably a bit out of practice, so I probably need to start making some cold calls when I get off the phone.
They don't really do that anymore. You're in luck.
Listen, would you say true or false, Jimmy, the most exciting thing you can ever do is call a lot of strangers on the phone?
True.
Okay.
True.
Let me ask you this. Do you know the song? Do you know Amy Winehouse? Are you familiar with her?
Oh,
I'm not,
God,
I'm
that
not
part.
She's got a song called Love is a Losing Game. Would you say that cold calling is a losing game, but sometimes you win?
Yes.
Did you say that, Jimmy, or somebody else?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so you're
sometimes
a cold
caller. Sometimes
you
win, sometimes you win
natural, big. Are you a natural cold caller? Is that what you're saying? Because you just said a few minutes or seconds
ago.
I had
to train myself to be one. Mm-hmm. When I started, I hated picking up the phone. But I had to train myself and be disciplined and make myself do it.
How did you do that, Jimmy?
I've only ever met two or three in my life natural cold callers.
How did you turn yourself into a cold call machine?
It's discipline. It's like I said, you've got to sit there, be able to take the rejection and just keep smiling and dialing. And you know that for every call that you make, you're one closer to getting the yes. But you just got to let yourself, like, not worry about getting the no's.
Okay. Now, you see yourself also as a good salesperson, obviously, right? You'll walk into anybody's door and try to sell them. Am I right about that?
Not necessarily try to sell them, but yeah, I think I've done okay in my career in terms of sales. I'd say that.
Okay, so you're not a high pressure closer. You're just a high. I'm Jim. Do business with
no,
me.
No, I'm a high. This is what I can do for you. If I can do this for you, is it going to change your life? Yeah.
It's going to change your life. Are you selling to clients or candidates? Who are you talking
about? No, clients. Clients in terms of walking through what they've currently got, and if I can show them a better way to do it, is it going to help them get promoted? Is it going to make them look good in front of their boss? Does it mean they're not going to have to work, extra hours of the day or work on weekends to get stuff done?
Let me interrupt you. What's the worst thing that ever happened to you on a cold call?
It's a good story, actually, and it happened in Northern California. I was in Pleasanton in an equity office building. And I was thrown out of the building for soliciting. Even though I argued that I wasn't soliciting, I was just trying to share some material which might help people with the business. I was then in Fremont 3 days later doing the same thing in another equity office building, and I was told the guy came up to me and he goes, I've warned you before about coming into our buildings. Well, you've been warned about coming to our properties and soliciting. This is the second time this has happened. I'm like, I've never been in this building before. The guy pulled out the video camera evidence from me in Pleasanton 3 days earlier and said, you're in one of our offices in Pleasanton doing it. That was pretty uncomfortable. I had to kind of suck it up and leave. But,
yeah, and did you go right to another call or did you have to go to a Starbucks and cool off?
I went to another building, but let's just say it was an equity office.
Okay. Okay. And how about this? Last statement. We're almost out of time. A loser is someone who's afraid to say something wrong. True or false?
True.
Double negative.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us before we're gone?
I think I could do better next time, Animal.
You'll come back and you'll do it! Oh,
boy.
Man, that was a fabulous show.
Did
Jerry, I'm scared.
See Darren's tweet? He wrote, and in other news, at Darren R. McClure goes to find a rock to crawl under. Darren's
what?
A social media strategist. Darren tweeted out, and in other news, Darren R. McClure goes to find a rock to crawl under.
That was a great interview.
It picked up. It got better at the end.
It was a great interview for an ERE podcast, not necessarily for the Animal Show.
I thought it was a great interview.
I did too, Maureen.
Oh, Lord.
We're in the minority here.
The only
I'm not sure where to go here.
It's a sister love fest.
It's a what kind of love fest?
A sister.
Sister?
Well, no, I mean, I haven't always loved everybody. I think this was a good show. Oh, you love everyone.
There was a lot of meat in it, not just potatoes.
Jerry, can I give my scores real quick because I got to run?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give the guest an 8 because I thought he was a very good interview and he's very knowledgeable and he's obviously found success in our business.
Yes.
Again, I think it would have made a better ERE podcast than an Animal Show. And I don't even know what to score Animal. I don't know if he's on medication today or he's got a New Year's resolution to be more mellow or not. I mean – I guess he can get a 7 for sort of keeping – he did keep the show going and he let everyone speak, so that was a good thing. The only other thing I'll say is what he said about the Australian accent. If Rayanne starts speaking in an Australian accent, I am sure to get the Elevation Award again next year.
Stop it.
Okay.
Who was that?
Hey, thanks, Jerry,
Mike. Can I go next since you talked about the ERD podcast?
Yeah.
So I guess – unsurprisingly, I have exactly the opposite feedback, which is I think that I give the guest a 9 because I think he actually was a guy doing stuff and running a successful firm and had a lot to offer and was trying to get it out. I give the Animal a 5. I just don't think that he was really kind of focused on the kinds of questions that, you know, would – I mean, I think when you have someone who's kind of social media guru X, you ask them a certain kind of question and you can have, like, you know, you can make them sing and stuff. But when you got a guy who's running, you know, a 50-person operation, you know, you take advantage of that and ask them some serious questions.
I'm right there with you, Dave.
Serious, you know, I thought it could have been a little bit more like an ERE podcast, a little less, you know, a circus this time around. And I think it was kind of a missed opportunity.
I agree wholeheartedly. I obviously the guy is a salesperson, but he brings a lot that the normal Animal Show guest doesn't bring. I mean, the guy's running a, I don't know, $30-40 million staffing agency. I'm not interested in what's his cold call. You know, I want to know, geez, how did you get there? What are you in charge of? What, you know, what kind of problems do you run into? What do you look for when you're making decisions about next year's goals, that kind of thing?
I want to know about his Christmas party.
Great.
Christmas party or virtual Christmas party? There's a huge difference.
No, but nobody has a virtual Christmas party like the after show, so.
It was a good one.
That's
true. It was a good one. Rayanne, what are your
Well, you know, I think a lot of these scores are judging the guests and his work, not his performance on the show. So I'm going to stick with what it should be and his performance on the show. Yes, he's very knowledgeable, but I'm sorry. The first half hour, 40 minutes, was boring as hell. So I'm going to have to give the guest and Animal both 6s. It was boring. Second half of the show got much better, but it was boring. Yeah. I've got like 75 tweets to prove it. So and they weren't all from me. So, you know, I am known for my brutal honesty, and I have to – I mean, he may be great. His business is obviously great.
I don't know that the questions revealed that or that maybe he was nervous. I think this may be a case of come back, let's ask some different questions. But the show is boring as hell for 40 minutes. Sorry.
Wow.
Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right.
Okay. You're supposed to judge the show, the guest on the show, not his work life outside of the show, and we're not supposed to judge Animal's work life or previous performances. The show sucked for 40 minutes. So.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I was distracted. What?
Can you say that again?
What were your scores?
Six.
Without the preamble?
Six both. That was actually a postamble. I gave the scores early. So.
You know, Ryan, you make a compelling point.
Can somebody tell me Rayanne's scores?
Six.
Six. Okay,
six.
Gotcha.
Six and six.
Gotcha. Okay. Blake, the cannon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I actually liked the guest. I did think it was boring in the beginning, but I thought he was, for what was there, the questions that, the animal actually allowed everybody to ask. Because he didn't ask any good ones.
The last 20 minutes.
Yeah, I thought the guy got an 8, and I would go with Animal a 6.
Why Animal a 6? I mean,
you know what? The best part of the show was when he started being quiet, and everybody else got to ask questions.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Andrew Gregory, are you still with us?
I am here.
Okay, hit us with a couple scores, would you please?
You know what? I just wanted to say that I thought a pivotal moment was when Manister tried to throw a lifeline to Animal and he refused it. I mean, he just rejected it.
Yep.
I thought it could have gone a totally different direction. We could have been fine.
Agreed.
I mean, the sandbags would have worked, but it was just terrible.
I think that is an excellent observation.
Yeah. But, I'll just go. I don't even care. I'm just going to throw out numbers. These aren't scores. I'm going to give a 7 and an 8.
For who and for who?
I don't know. They're just numbers. They're just meaningless.
That's not right. That's
I thought
right.
I was on the wrong show for, the first 15 minutes. I'm like, where's everybody? We're talking about escrow and shit. So, anyway.
Okay.
I'm going to myself.
Okay, I just got scores from Sullivan, Mark D.
Uh-oh.
He's a pretty big hitter down at Time Warner down in Texas.
He's cold today, too, because it's freezing here.
Yeah. He gives both the host and the guest a 5.
Love him even more now. Man after my own heart. Love you, Mark.
Keyboard warrior.
He just didn't really have any takeaways or learn anything.
Exactly.
Or
fun. Not even fun.
Travis Yeager.
I don't know. Weren't you all surprised that such a low number were using social media? I thought that was really interesting information.
I think that's a very prudent number.
But that's when it got interesting, Mo. We're not
right,
talking
I
about,
agree.
You know, okay, that's when
it
got interesting.
Maybe it took the first part of that to get that kind of information
no,
out. But I thought,
no.
I found it interesting that he has clients. The example that he gave of a client that he met with yesterday that he went to meet them and they said, hey, do you use social media? And he said, well, do you? Here's what you know. There's an entire landscape of people struggling to somehow get some kind of return from social media. And it's just interesting. I mean, nobody can really pinpoint, hey, since I made the switch, here's what happened to my bottom line. And the general proponents of that are the people who say, well, we don't really do ROI measurement anymore. That's too old news. That's old school.
Well, it's good to know that you'll, analyze everybody's site for $249.
I will.
Yeah.
It's a start.
Did
I won't analyze your
today?
Site. I will analyze your personal brand for $2.49.
Jerry, I got to go.
What a deal.
Verbal
Did anybody
rocks.
See where MySpace
Yo,
might
peace.
Be shuttered by June?
I don't even know what you're talking
Played
about, Maureen. What'd you say,
staff.
Blake? Blake. He had to go. Travis, how about some scores?
I'll give it sixes across the board. And the reason why, I think as the host, if he would have spent some more time, researching Workway and what this guy's role is with the company, I think it's up to the host to kind of lead the guest in the direction that they, you know, should go on the show.
Jen Bowen had the best questions, and she was a caller in.
I agree.
Right. I think that, I don't know. I know he's not, you know, getting a big check from this, and probably isn't able to put the time into it that it would take to.
Animal usually spends a good amount of time doing
research.
I think
he had a
lot of
research.
He's getting at least $4 that we know of.
He started in the wrong direction.
I think if he could have spent more time, you know, researching and that, and then he could have probably led the conversation in the direction that would probably would have kept my focus on it a little bit more. But, you know, obviously the guy's knowledgeable. I just, the direction was missing for me.
Okay. All right.
And I got to tell you, you sound like Jeff Bridges. And your question about, you know, the outside, what I call waste of time stuff, the Twitter and all that. For me, a complete and utter waste of time. But looking for the answers you're looking for, you know, show me somebody who's actually received a check based on that stuff. So,
you know, I know that that's, what I'm kind of known for, but I'm surprised everybody's not asking the same question. I'm all about social media. I love it.
Okay, so Jerry, plant a little seed in Animal's ear that we, Broadbean, has just launched Social Smashed, which is using our reporting analytics to measure our clients' social media output on jobs. So when people come in to apply for jobs, we can measure where they're coming from, what social media medium. So socialsmashed.com, automating social media, social recruiting. So. We can actually
You'll need to send $2, please, for that.
I don't think so. I think you owe me a beer from Madison, and that about covers it.
Uh-oh.
In all fairness,
we're going forward here, not backwards.
And I will say this has been on fire today.
What's on fire?
I said Rayanne has been on fire today on Twitter following...
Yeah, I can only imagine why. Hey, Maureen, what are your scores?
9 and 8.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
We don't care why.
Wait,
I know.
When did you tune in, Maureen? Did you come in halfway
through? I was
there
from the beginning.
You know why? You know why? Because he did, like, a little commercial for her. That's why.
Oh. Now I see it.
Uh-huh.
Now I see it.
And right in the middle of the show, he waited till everybody was, like, waiting there with bated
breath.
Yeah.
I was utterly maimed at the very beginning of the show.
You got short-shifted, Jerry. Send $1.50.
Yeah, I mean...
short-shifted. God, I haven't heard that since summer camp.
Okay, who else has some scores that we haven't noted
you,
here?
You, Jerry. What are your scores?
I do. Jenny Devon, too. I haven't given my scores.
Jenny Devon?
Oh, Jerry.
Jenny
Devon is on the call?
Yeah, I was really hoping to want to participate, but there was really nothing I could add. I'm kind of bummed by the show.
Oh, my God, Jenny, you should have identified yourself.
Guess what I just did? I had written down Jerry because I was going to give my scores, but then I made the two R's and.
What a revelation.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been able to do that kind of stuff for a long time now.
Hey, Jerry.
What are your scores?
My score, I'm so sorry to do this, but Animal gets about a 5, and the guest, it's no fault of his own. He can't really control the questions. I would give him an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because of the accent. I cannot lie.
Oh, Jenny.
What do you like better, an Australian accent or a New Jersey accent?
Oh, New Jersey, come on.
Jersey, okay.
Yeah.
You like the situation?
No. No, he gets a big negative score. Right. Yeah. Not a fan.
Jerry, what are your scores?
I'm going to give him a 7. Very knowledgeable guy. I think part of that is that Animal really didn't give him the right questions. I don't think his strengths are talking about the couple of topics Animal threw at him. I mean, a COO of a company that I would love to be the owner of a company that he's currently the COO of. And I wanted to learn more about him running that business, and I don't think we really learned anything other than
they're struggling with social media too, and really can't put a handle on whether it's good or bad. But I could certainly offer some insight. Animal five. He acted like he had a guest that had training wheels on. I think he mismanaged that. And didn't give that guy the chance to shine.
I agree.
I think the guy should come back on. He wants to.
Yeah. Who else has a score for us?
I got a score. May I go?
Yeah, who is this?
It's Margo.
Gotcha. Go, Margo.
Margo, are you in a sewer somewhere?
No. Can you hear me? It's Margo.
It sounds like you're hanging out with Levy.
My score for animal is 8. My score for the guest is 9. And my score for Dave Manister is 9. First of all, John Wanamaker says 50% of your advertising is working. The problem is I don't know which 50%.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to the gang. Okay, I think
who's
everybody's
advertising?
Been really hard. No, let me finish. Everyone's been really hard.
I missed what you said, Margo. 50% of whose advertising is working?
This is my statement about the social media. Is it working? Is it not? My point is it is, and you don't know which part is. You may be able to measure it. You may not be able to measure it.
Shoo the rats away, Margo. Shoo the rats away. They're too close to the mic.
Hey, whoever's doing that, come on. Please be respectful.
That's not me. That's not
HR.
Okay. I think people do need to be prepared when they come on the animal show. They really do need to ramp up the mojo. But he may not have known that in advance. In all fairness, I don't think it's fair to really beat up on this guy.
I don't think anybody's beat up on this guy. Nobody did.
No, giving them low scores is kind of harsh. I mean, I love
An honest evaluation isn't necessarily beating up. Derek Stolpa was beat up on.
Yeah, that's true. No, I love Rayanne.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
that's
he's beat up on the guy.
If he didn't get Stolped, then he got nothing to complain about.
I'm not beating up on them. I just think that it could have been a better show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else,
well,
who else has a score for us? Anybody? Anybody.
Gary.
Who is this?
This is Jen Bowen.
Hey, Jen Bowen.
Hey. I give both of them 7s. My biggest thing was you're talking to the COO of a $75 million a year Inc. 500 company.
Mm-hmm.
Why were we talking about social media the whole time? Why weren't we going more in depth on how they grew the business to that, what their day-to-day tasks are? You know, go a little bit more into the meat of a company that big.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's the stuff I want to know. Not what was his recruiting call in 95. I mean,
no, it sounded to me like they had picked up on the mortgage brokers that are out of work, and that's how they grew the business.
Hey, excellent. Good call. Wish I'd have thought of it.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know, they've always
600 temps working, Maureen.
Yeah, I know. I'm not knocking. I'm just saying it sounded to me like that's how they grew the business.
Well, you kind of lowbrowed it. Is what
no,
it sounded like. Does anybody else hear that in Maureen's tone? Yeah, he just picked up on unemployed mortgage brokers.
Mm.
I said that's how he. That sounded to me like that's how they grew the business.
Okay, Maureen. Anybody else?
Hey, Jerry, I got a request.
Request, yeah.
Can you just say for me the words?
Say what?
Food abides.
I can't hear you, man. You're cutting out.
I said, can you say the words, the dude abides?
What?
We'll just save that one for the movie, Travis.
Oh, my God.
Funny.
That is a good movie.
You sound like Jeff Bridges, man.
All right.
That's awesome.
You do.
Sam Elliott. Can you just say that so true? Can you just say meat is the real thing?
No, he does not sound like Sam Elliott.
Okay, anybody else with scores?
Anybody
else with scores, please?
I feel like I'm in Tombstone or something.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges lotion. On one side, Sam Elliott on the
it
other.
It rubs lotion.
Very.
What are you thinking?
Okay, I'm thinking that
the show started to drop off a little bit. Have
oh,
we got all the
no
scores, everybody?
I started to doze about 15, 20 minutes into it. This is
yep.
You know,
I did, just because I wasn't – hell, I called my wife in Spain just to chat it up with her for a minute. I mean, it was it was an okay show. It was just kind of – I just was wondering what the show was about after a while.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to give it the average, six and six.
Okay.
Hey, mm-hmm. I know there's got to be a one-liner lurking in Andy Gregory.
I'm working on my Travis impersonation, that's all I'm saying.
That's a tough one, man. You got to go deep on it.
You got to go deep. I think the first five minutes of the show, Jerry, I was really in there.
Yeah?
See, Sam Elliott, I swear to God.
Because Animal was firing away, you know, and I thought, all right, he's on the jazz.
Mm-hmm.
But then about five minutes in, I found myself kind of zoning out.
That is Sam Elliott, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It is.
All right, everybody. Thanks for your participation.
Good job, Terry.
Hey, Travis, can you just say Wyatt?
Wyatt?
Just say Wyatt. Like
why
you're holding him.
Wyatt?
Have you seen Tombstone?
No, say it rubs lotion on the on the skin.
No, don't say that.
What's it?
That's from Silence of the Lambs. It rubs lotion on the skin.
Okay, bye, everybody.
You know who I think that, just real quick, Derek Stolpa and Travis, Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets. I think they'd make great, like, you put them off to the side and have them make comments about stuff. I think it'd be awesome. But anyway.
That's
all right, everybody. We'll see you next week when we hopefully find out how yet another very successful person makes a recruit call.
There you go.
Bye.
Talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good to talk to you.